Oh, you know what today is?
Yeah. What is it? I didn't know it was a real question. I was just going to ride with you.
Solana, you know what today is?
Yeah.
You invented this day, Solana.
Could it be Talk About It Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Talk About It Tuesday. You invented this. Talk about it. What? Oh, my goodness. It's already ready.
Talk about it.
Oh, I'm very excited to play Talk About It Tuesday later on today. And we fixed it, right, from last week?
We'll see in a little bit.
All right.
Let's not put the cart before the horse.
Rapidly approaching the next Dolphins game, which is Thursday, just a couple nights away. Fins and Jags. Rapidly approaching Canes FSU Saturday night, national TV. And tomorrow night, we are back to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's been a long wait. Hopefully, the Heat are raring to go. So we'll cover all that ground today. George Sedano from ESPN, he will join us for 15 minutes of Heat. Coach Mark Richt, now of the ACC Network, formerly the Hurricanes head coach, he's going to join us today. We'll talk a little Miami Hurricanes with him. And Tuan Russell, one of our favorites. He was a Cane and a Dolphin.
Yeah,
he's going to join us today. So a lot to get to. I watched the Vegas Raiders game last night on Monday Night Football, and my conclusion is I really miss Las Vegas. Can we?
That's what you took from it?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the entire thing, had money on it, as you know. Can we just get this vaccine working and everybody wear a mask? And can we please get back to Vegas? Oh, I was going crazy last night. Kept showing the Bellagio fountains and the strip. And I was like, oh, my God, get me back to Vegas.
Can't wait. Those damn Raiders look good, too. We might be able to catch a game.
Man, I'll tell you, Derek Carr, because the first couple of series, I was not very impressed. And then he found his groove, and John Gruden, we were making fun of him yesterday, but you got to give him credit. If anybody watched the game, like, he kicked a field goal at the end rather than punt, which a lot of head coaches, I believe, would have done. I probably would have done it. There was about a minute left on the clock. If they miss the field goal, it was a 50-plus yarder. If they miss it, Drew Brees has, what, a minute to go 55, 60 yards?
Yeah, and that's not difficult.
And if he punted, theoretically, the worst that you would be off is what? He'd have to go 80 yards. You know, if you punted it and it was a touchback, you'd have to go 80 yards in a minute. And I probably would have made that trade. And John Gruden put that pizza slice to the side and said, we are kicking a field goal, Jack. And we won that bet. If you listen to this show, it was Crowder that said, let's jump on this Raiders bet. And we did. So nice job out of you.
And, bro, we talked about it, too. And we saw it come to fruition. Not having Michael Thomas messes that offense up unimaginably. I thought they'd be able to do more without Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is that passing game.
Oh, my goodness. You knew it, right? You said it. You go, oh, Michael Thomas is inactive. Let's get on this. Man, I'll tell you. That stadium looks like something. Raiders look like they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. The Saints, you got to start questioning Drew Brees, right?
Yes. If we question Brady after that loss week one, we got to question Brees. And, bro, you always want to say they lost their fastball. That's the cliche, right? I don't know if he can throw all the throws. Brees looked limited last night. Now, I'm not saying for the rest of the season, but no, if you watched that game last night, you saw Brees was limited.
Just saw a tweet. This is from Joe Cook. He is the sports director at WAPT News in Jackson, Florida, where Deion Sanders has just become the head coach.
Yeah.
According to sources, and again, this is just from Joe Cook, who's he's the Will Manso, if you will, in Jackson. According to sources, Deion Sanders' coaching staff will be Jason Phillips, offensive coordinator, Terrell Owens, wide receivers coach, Warren Sapp, defensive line coach, Mario Edwards, defensive backs coach, Dennis Thurman, defensive coordinator. That's kind of funny, right? Just everyone's going to did you see Deion Sanders' entrance to his press conference at Jackson?
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
They used the entire athletic budget to bring Deion into that room.
So funny, man.
The band, oh, police, everyone. And Deion just walked in to sign the paper.
That was funny, man. All right.
I want to see how this works out now.
Yeah, because you're bringing – my thought was when Deion Sanders was getting ushered into this gymnasium for the press conference at Jackson – and the police and the marching band, like you say, I mean, it is a thing. Fast forward 3 months and he's on a little field that doesn't have, you know, good drainage like they do at a top-notch school. And I just feel like Deion Sanders is going to be bored in 3 months. And and then you kind of feel the same way, right, about Sapp and Terrell Owens. Like, it's fun until you actually have to work.
There's two things about this. One, Hawk, you hit it on the head. It looks good now. Warren Sapp is coaching the D-line? Yes. Is Warren Sapp sitting up till 3 a.m. reading the guards of some D2 school they play in a week?
Right.
Is Deion going to – you know, is he breaking down this film like he did when he played at Jackson State? And then now Deion came out. Another thing, too. Number two was he came out. He was like, hey, guys, you know, make a difference, or take the road less traveled and come here, bro. You're not getting a 5-star guy to go to Jackson State. Like, why would they? They can go to Alabama. They can go to Florida, UM. You're not stealing guys from UM to go play for Deion at a very, very small, underprivileged school with no money. I'm very interested to see how this works out.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to watch it. Anywho, so much stuff going on. I am just tickled by the amount of sports that we have here in South Florida. Let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana because we've got no time to spare today.
Wait till they're 2-5 in March. We'll see how much he loves being a head coach.
I'm telling you, no, Crowder nailed it because really, if you want to be a good defensive line coach, if you want to be a good DB coach, you want to be a good defensive coordinator, like you have to know all the intricacies of the team that you're playing. And if the team that you're playing is a small D2 school, like you're going to really have to do your research because it's not like it's somebody that you're watching on SportsCenter highlights, and it'd be interesting because that would require real dedication.
Yeah, I'd do it for high school, man. You have to draw up every play the offense runs and then draw up your defense against every play they run. So the lead, cover four, cover three, 30 front, 40 front. You have to draw all that up for the kids to see. I don't see Warren Sapp sitting in there doing that. I might be taking a knock at the guys. I just don't see those Hall of Famers doing it. But the proof's in the pudding because sooner or later, they're going to line up, bro, and we're going to see what happens.
Go ahead, Solano. What are the headlines?
The Marlins, they lost yesterday 5-4 to the Braves. They play the Braves again today 7-10. It was a close game last night. The Fish look like they're about to rally, but it ends up being a loss. But the Marlins still in the playoffs. They're currently in the 5 seed in the National League. 6 games remaining on the schedule. They control their destiny, fellas.
And eight teams will make it, right, from each league?
Correct.
Right. All right. Why is Dan Day on the beach? I'm just seeing a picture on Instagram that Dan Day says surf's up, stoked. Where is Dan? Is he not running the board?
No, he's actually my satellite weatherman today out in Miami Beach. Yeah.
Wow. All right. I didn't know we had the budget for a satellite weatherman.
We're working in.
Didn't know we had the budget for you.
Let's capitalize early because I know Dan's drinking. I don't know around 5 if he'll pick the phone up.
Right. Let's get a satellite weather update early on in the show.
Monday Night Football last night. You mentioned it a little while ago. Raiders beat the Saints 34-24. Crowder, you didn't want to question Drew Brees moving forward, but I will. He's got a noodle arm, and it's done. Like, he is done.
I thought he said you have to question Drew Brees.
We could question him. My thing is, we could question him about last night, but when Drew figures this thing out, and I think he will,
right,
it's not going to always be this way.
Just like Tom Brady seemed to have figured it out last week or this past Sunday, but his arm strength is nowhere near what it was. His ability to throw is nowhere near what it was.
Bingo. You're right.
works for me. I got Alvin Kamara, so check down city for my fantasy team. Game 3, Lakers Nuggets, 9 p.m. tonight. The Lakers, 6.5-point favorites to take a 3-0 lead.
All right, we are going to talk with George Sedano. He's out in L.A., so we can ask him about that.
Game 4, Heat Celtics tomorrow, 8:30 p.m., Boston, 3-point favorite.
Let's go. You got the guts, Crowder?
I got the guts.
You got the guts, Solana?
I got the guts, baby.
Jay Fig? How about Jay Fig? Does she have the guts?
Oh, I have the guts.
She's got the guts. We all got the guts.
You see, you see in the article, Jimmy's pissed. Jay Crowder's pissed. Just everything they're saying, everybody's mad. I like a
Let's
mad heat
go.
Team.
Let's go. We like a mad Heat team. Mad. Get mad.
Adam Silver, he was on CNN today.
Was he mad?
The old,
no.
I like the a mad commissioner. Get a mad commissioner.
The only coach I've ever heard get mad is the guy in the wheelchair on dodgeball. He yells, get mad at his guy. What? Patches O'Houlihan. We are Patches O'Houlihan of coaching.
Why can't I think of his name? What's his real name? He died. He used to be on Larry Sanders' show. Oh.
No, he died because he got the thing fell on his head in the middle of the casino.
No, I'm talking about in real life.
It's unfortunate, right? I mean, just wheeling, right through
Why
the
Why can't I think of
casino?
His name? Oh, my God. It's driving me crazy.
Patches.
Patches O'Houlihan was. Why can't I find? Oh, Rip Torn. Rip Torn.
That's his real name? That's a stage name. Rip Torn?
Yep.
Bro, his name is William Blacklock Lamille, and he went with Rip Torn.
Rip Torn. What a great actor.
All that for Rip Torn? Nobody's ever heard of Rip Torn.
Oh, you are so wrong. Oh, wrong. Text in 786-360-0790. Have you ever heard of Rip Torn? Just yes or no. 786-360-0790.
Rip Torn and Sean Penn are on the same little acting realm.
I mean, you're pulling somebody out of your butt, and that's fine. But no, Rip Torn is a very well-known actor.
Put the foot away, Crowder. Anyways, Adam Silver... He told CNN that January is the earliest start time for the 2020-2021 NBA season, and he said he hopes that teams will play in their home arenas in front of fans, and they'll get all 82 games in.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? It would have to be after December, right? It's not going to be over till what, October? So NBA Finals will be over in October. You get November, December, you get a couple of months off, and then you fire it back up again.
Gonzalo Higuain. He's officially been cleared for training, and he joined Inter Miami today for his first official training with La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Big news. Finally, guys, a Chinese drug trafficker on death row in Indonesia. He escaped from his cell after digging a 30-meter tunnel in the sewers of the prison.
Hey, yeah.
Sounds a little bit like
Andy Dufresne.
Yes, indeed.
Script.
The story continues, though. He's still on the loose. Authorities are looking for him, but they fear he'll be in Zihuatanejo next week.
That is great. If you could have stuck the landing on that, it would have been great. But when you added it up for playback, you make sure you take out your verbal stumble there. That was delightful.
And I didn't steal it. And I didn't steal it.
No, I know. I can see there's actual show prep put in there. Like that was excellent. I admire what you just did there. That is excellent. Yeah.
Lana, you're writing punchlines now?
Yeah, I mean, that was good. And that was the only good punchline. Like, we could have easily gone to a warden pun. Like, I was immediately, when he said the story, my head's clicking or whatever. He nailed the perfect punchline. Someone will explain it to Jay Fig, right, in the next 15, 20 minutes.
She's lost. Yeah.
But,
Oh, she's going to do that I get it laugh, but she won't get it.
Oh, right. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Alex.
Let's get the weather right now in South Florida, partly cloudy.
I think Jay Fig right now is thinking to herself, you know, half the time I don't even understand this Tobin and Leroy.
Love you, Fig.
funny. Zuwantanejo. That was excellent.
Man. 86 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy. We kind of have a cold front in South Florida. Kind of not really. It gets down to about 75 tonight, but the good part, no humidity. That is your weather.
All right. George Sedano, we're going to do 15 minutes of heat. George Sedano from ESPN Los Angeles. He's going to join us here momentarily.
I see y'all on the road staring at my Chevys. I'm telling you now, Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet will give you the best price on a Chevy. Eric Nunez, my good friend over there, he always watches out for his customers. He is the best. And Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet is the best. Sales staff, service department, immaculate showroom. If you are in the market for a new or pre-owned car, go down and see Eric Nunez at Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. And I'm telling you, the best prices. There's some fake pricing going on out there. Eric told me about it. People lie to you online. They lie to you in the commercials. You get to the showroom and you're paying more. Just go to Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Stop with the non-price nonsense and get the best deal on a Chevy that's been going on since the 50s. Since the 50s, Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet has been saving generation after generation money on Chevys. I got my Suburban. I got my Silverado. Y'all know I love a Chevy, and thousands of people have been helped out, and they're going to help you out. No one sells Chevys for less, and no one has ever sold Chevys for less than Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Thousands of new and pre-owned vehicles in stock for immediate delivery or pickup. If you want to shop online, if you're not comfortable going to the showroom, shop online. They'll deliver it to you. If you want to go to the showroom, test drive, see what an award-winning service and sales staff looks like, go down to Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. But whenever you want to call on the shop, make sure it's at Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek. Stop by there and check out the best prices. And the price they show is the price you get. No nonsense on the pricing. They'll treat you like family because that's what it's based on. It's based on helping people out and helping out generations of families. The lowest price anywhere, and that's a guarantee. Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Find new roads.
All right, 15 minutes of heat is next on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Adetokunbo for three.
Hawk and Crowder.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
15 minutes!
Style, Solana. 15 minutes of heat brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. George Sedano. He can be heard every afternoon on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. And he can be seen on myriad ESPN shows opining on the NBA. And I'm guessing, just like us, Crowder, he is probably frothing at the mouth for the thought of a Heat-Lakers NBA Finals. LeBron and Lakers and Riley and the Heat. I'm guessing George, right? I mean, that would be the greatest thing ever, no?
I don't think there's any question that would be the case. By the way, great job by Solana, making me feel like I was at like some rooftop party at Space or 11 or something like that.
Right? Yeah, that Heat Lakers finals. Yeah, that'd absolutely. be good for the league too, right?
What you know about 11, George? What you know about 11?
I mean, you know, I know some things. To your point, Hawk, I think that look clearly Lakers and Celtics would be big for the league too, because it's the two most historic franchises. It's like if you had like the Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series, right? Like, you know what I mean? Steelers, Cowboys, right? Like in the Super Bowl. Like, I think that there are some things that, you know, will resonate, but I will say this, like there's no real lineage between or correlation between this Celtics team and the Lakers team. Like you're really kind of focusing on the past. I guess Danny Ainge is there, but with the Heat, there's like fresh storylines or fresher storylines. Obviously, you mentioned Riley, Spoelstra, LeBron, right? All that stuff. Like, there's so many ways that, yeah. Who? Oh, UD. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think there's just so many ways that you can make that interesting from a storyline perspective that, yeah, it would be great to have for sure.
And George, the Heat were 10-1 going into game 3 against Boston in the playoffs. They were beating the hell out of people. Gentlemen sweep, swept the Pacers. Gentlemen sweep on the Bucks. Game 3 of the Boston Heat series scared me. Should I be as scared as I am? Because, bro, they dominated that game from whistle to whistle.
Yes and no. Yes, because Boston is really good. They're top-heavy, for sure. When you look at Tatum, Brown, Smart, and now Hayward back in the fold, even though his contributions were minimal on the box score, just having him there and his awareness of that particular system, having someone that can help them with the zone, I think, was big for them. But I'll just say this. There's a lot of talk right now about, oh, no, you know, 4 days between games. Oh, my goodness. The Celtics, this is gearing up for the Celtics to even it up at 2-2. I don't know about you, but the best coach in the NBA is on the other side. And he just benched his best player, Jimmy Butler, in game 3. Don't you think that's probably not going to sit well over 4 days? And they're going to come out like bats out of hell in that situation in game 4? Like, I'm predicting a Heat win in game 4.
Yeah, I think there's that side of the story. We can obviously, you can look at it both ways. But I would ask you this. Who is the better team, in your opinion?
I think it's razor thin, the margins. I think the Heat are deeper. I think that the Celtics are more top heavy, right? And I think I think I may have talked to you guys about this. Like, I thought there were several keys to this series. Number one, the depth that we just discussed there, in no particular order. Number two, the Heat's great 3-point offense, which was second in the league during the regular season and second in the playoffs, versus the Celtics' great 3-point defense, which was the best in the playoffs thus far. And we saw how Toronto had tons of variance there up and down in their games, in their long series with Boston. So I think those are two things. And then the biggest key for me individually is Bam. If Bam dominates on both ends, the Celtics don't have an answer for him. So I think that is where the focus needs to be in some way, shape, or form to free up Bam both on offense and defense to create havoc.
And George, a big problem is points in the paint. Game 1, the Celtics had 26. Game 2, 46. It's a little bitter. Game 3, George, 60 points in the paint. Is that an easy fix? Mm-hmm. You talked about the 4 days off. Can they fix that? Because that is one of the things that scared me. I don't know if Gordon Hayward created it with him coming back, but 60 points in the paint, that is unacceptable.
Yeah, 100% it's unacceptable, and I do think it's correctable. I don't think it's going to be what you saw in game 1, but I think if it's what you saw in game 2, that's manageable, right? Like, and I think that, you know, look, the Milwaukee Bucks led the league in opposing points in the paint, right? And I think they allowed 38 points per game. So if you're in that low 40 range, you're doing okay for yourself. And I think that's kind of the target that you need to be with any particular team, especially at this particular state of the season. So, yeah, I think it's correctable. They allowed way too many easy ones. And the Celtics got a lot of those easy ones, as you recall, early in the game, which really kind of set the tone. And look, the Heat made a valiant effort to make it a game at the end. But I think Jimmy nailed it the other day when he said, I'm kind of tired of playing from behind. And they've been playing from behind a lot, not just in this series, but in all these other series too. So I just think at some point they're going to have to come out and have their best game. And I think we've seen glimpses of it, but I don't think we've seen their best performance yet, where all things are firing at the same time. And they shot terribly from 3. They played poorly defensively. That was very unlike the Miami Heat. So I expect a way better effort for game 4.
George Sedano from ESPN is with us. So when they went up 2-0, I think we all felt the same thing. There's no way Boston's going to be able to win 4 out of the next 5. Like, it just, you can't get there in your head. Now they take the game Saturday night, like we mentioned. You said you think that the Heat are going to win tomorrow. Obviously, you feel good. If they do tie it at 2, all of a sudden the series is tied 2-2. Does that dramatically change things, in your opinion, of the way the series will go?
I mean, yeah, I think all of a sudden you're looking at a 7-game series for sure at
right.
that point. I think that the Heat can still get one more in that scenario. But it's a toss-up at that point, which, look, it's where we were at the beginning of this thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if, even if the Heat played their best game, that the Celtics could match them and win that. I just think that the Heat, you know, given all this time, right, that they have to kind of mull over the putrid performance by their standards that they had in Game 3, I just think you're going to see a completely different mindset in this game. And Jimmy says it all the time. They can't get comfortable. And occasionally they've gotten comfortable. And when they get comfortable and lose, they usually bounce back pretty well in the next game. So I'm expecting that to be the case.
And, George, I got to go to the Western Conference Finals. First, I didn't want the Nuggets to be there. But that's just me personally.
You know George didn't. You know George in L.A.
I mean, yeah. Nobody wanted that. Like, this is so anticlimactic. Look, as nice a story as they are, you know, and look, I thought they were going to be able to steal game two. But now the series is over. You know what I mean? Like, they're not coming back and winning 4 out of 5 against that Laker team. Like, that's not happening. So, yeah, I'm with you. I would have loved to have seen the Clippers because styles make fights, man. And those particular styles clashed in a way that we could have had an epic 7-game series.
And the talk today, George, was AD shot. 2.1 seconds left on the clock. He pulls up. He hits the three. He yells, Kobe, just beautiful. It was artistic how that happened. I want to ask you, though, George, LeBron's on that team. Does LeBron have to sign off on that inbound play where he's setting a pick for AD to shoot the game winner?
You make it sound like the UPS delivery guy came and he has to actually sign off there for that. Here's what I would say. There, and Crowder, you know this. You know, in a locker room, there are certain guys who have enough cachet to kind of forego maybe what the best player wants. And for all the issues that Rondo has, right, he's got that cachet, right? In the locker room, he is respected and his teammates love him. His teammates understand that he is one of the smartest guys to ever play the sport. I mean, look, Dwayne Wade says it, right? He played with Rondo briefly in Chicago and talks about how Rondo is a top three player as far as just his mind is concerned, right? Like the just knowing and understanding the game. So when Rondo comes to Frank Vogel and says, hey, I want to inbound the pass and inserts himself in the game, he's going to make the right decision. And, you know, we may not like him, you know, because of his personality, because he can rub people the wrong way or whatever, but you got to respect him and his mind when it comes to hoops. And there's no question. He's probably the only guy on that roster, Crowder, that could have foregone a pass to LeBron James in that situation. And he did.
We have to stand with Jason Jackson on this one and hate Rondo, no matter what he's capable of doing with the Lakers or on a basketball court. George Sedano is with us from ESPN. He mentioned, you know, we would have loved to have seen a Lakers Clippers finals. I'm sure you would have also. What is in the future, do you think, for the Clippers? Wholesale changes or Kawhi, Paul George, Doc Rivers remain?
I don't think they're making a coaching change. And the Kawhi-Paul George dynamic will be fascinating. I think that, you know, you saw that report by Chris Haynes, I'm sure, yesterday about allegedly Paul George after Game 7 was like, yo, we got to come back and be stronger, and it was met with eye rolls, right? So
I love that. Because I tell you, I love that story. Like, it would have to be such a pronounced eye roll for that to get to the media that it would almost be like cartoon-like, which I love, I could see people rolling their eyes that wide to that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And look, he's a good player, man. Like, there's no doubt. But I just think that he gets in his own way, right? Like, the 6 inches between the ears at times gets in his own way. And so I would say this. I would say Kawhi and Doc 100% are back, okay? Look, Doc Rivers, for all the issues that people may have with him in Miami, he's an excellent coach. And at some point, you know, you can coach as much as you want, but the guys on the floor have to perform, right? And I know Doc is an easy target in this situation, but the players let him down more than anything else. You know what I mean? Like, they just choked it away for 3 straight games. Like, you can't blame the coach when he's not the one on the court in that situation, at least I believe. So, and look, Kawhi is still a top three player in the NBA, but Paul George has value, right? Now, I know that Paul George would love to be a Clipper for life. I do know that. And there's not very many people historically that have wanted to be a Clipper for life. Blake Griffin was one of them, and then he was traded. And so I do think it's going to be a very difficult decision inside that front office to figure out what it is they do, because they're going to lose Montrezl Harrell probably in free agency. And my best guess is he goes to Dallas and plays with Luka, which is fascinating because of the dust up they had. But I do think that that's probably the place he ends up. But yeah, I don't have the answers, but I would be stunned if Doc or Kawhi are gone.
And George, to that point where Paul George comes out and says, let's run it back. I know you want to run it back, Paul, because you were the problem. Like, his numbers, bubble right. Paul George, that was the story. You're the problem, so I know you want to run it back. Like, when you look back on the Clippers 2020 season, I'm going to think Paul George folded in the bubble. Are you with me? Am I wrong? Where are you at on that?
Yeah, Paul George's numbers in the bubble were bad. Paul George's numbers in closeout games are not ideal either. I mean, he's a long way away removed from his days in Indiana battling the big three Heat, where everybody was like, whoa, who's this kid? You know what I mean? Like, it just, it feels like that was another lifetime ago when we thought that he was going to be the next coming of a really great superstar. Now, he's a star. I still think he's a top 10 or 15 player, but I think that to be the leader on a franchise, you have to have more than just skill. I think that your skills need to be in the way you handle the locker room, and the way guys buy into what you're saying. You know, you mentioned UD earlier. UD still got that. I've got a story coming out on ESPN.com tomorrow about UD, and it's called The Keeper of Culture, and how he's kind of morphed from being, you know, 2003 NBA undrafted, gem out of France, right, to being a guy who was a major contributor on a championship team in 2006. People forget 17-10 in a closeout game. Against the Dallas Mavericks in 06, to being a key contributor for the big three and then getting derailed because of injury and going from that to enforcer to now mentor. I think that throughout all that time, the one thing he's had is buy-in, right? And guys buy what he says, even though he's not the best player on the team and even though his skills have eroded for a number of different reasons. And the Clippers don't have that guy. And in theory, you'd like it to be one of your best players. It doesn't have to be. But they don't have any of those guys, which is the bad part.
I got a sneak peek from George of The Keeper of Culture, which will be on ESPN.com tomorrow. Heat fans are going to love it. So make sure you go online, ESPN.com tomorrow, and read it. You too, Solana. It is going to be right in your wheelhouse. George Sedano, ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles, and of course, Hialeah's own. Thank you for making time for us, George.
Hold on, wait. I always derail you here. Speaking of Hialeah's own.
No, this is what I look forward to.
I need some football talk here. All right. I believe, okay, I have sat there miserably through the last 16 years or whatever it's been of Kane's football that has not been great, okay? Mm-hmm. The Eric King is the best quarterback they've had since Brock Berlin. I don't even think that's even debatable at this point. Do you guys agree with me or no?
Totally agree.
I believe that this
Totally agree. It was obviously it's the Louisville game that really made you see what this guy is capable of. But Crowder, being an SEC and a Florida guy, has wanted to Tate Martell De'Eric King ever since we heard about him in the transfer portal.
What?
But Crowder saw it, right? Crowder saw it on Saturday night. And he came on the air yesterday, right, singing his praises.
George, my thing is you're transferring, you're moving around. Like, come on, you can't be that good. If you're going to ball, you're going to ball where you're at. Bro, against Louisville, George, you hit it on the head. I think he's better than Brock Berlin. De'Eric King got something.
Oh, yeah. I think he's better than Brock Berlin, too. But I'm saying that's how far back you have to go to find a good college quarterback that performed at the University of Miami. And it makes me feel a little worse that he happened to be a Gator like you, Crowder, before that. But then he came to the right side.
That's right.
And figured
talk
it out.
Talk about it.
Had that
talk about
had that
it.
Big, that big win in the OB. I was there for that, baby. Were you on that Gator team, Crowder?
He was on that Gator team. You're damn right he was.
That was my first collegiate game ever, was in the OB against the Canes. First game ever.
And Crowder was bawling out, by the way. Bawling out. Because we have the highlights of the game, and Joe Zagacki's like, oh, look at that, Channing Crowder. That's Randy Crowder's kid, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, we brought Brock Berlin on, I think, the last 2-3 years to celebrate it.
They make me relive it. It's George, this is what, 14 years ago. I got to relive it once a year, every time.
It is fantastic. Great. Is that the Frank Gore story? Hold on a second. Yes. Is that the Frank Gore story game? So Crowder for years, this is great. Crowder for years has told this story about, it was a tough loss, but I shut down Frank Gore. So I had kind of a personal victory in that game, even though we ended up losing this game that we shouldn't have lost. I shut down Frank Gore, blah, blah, blah. And we just took his word as gospel for years. And then finally, one day we look up the stats. Frank Gore ran for like 146 yards, had the go-ahead touchdown by planting his shoulder into Crowder's chest, and there's still a mark. There's still a mark on his chest.
What happened, guys? George, I shut down Jared Payton, but I thought it was Frank Gore.
Right.
And I just
33, 32, and 34. I can understand that mistake, you know, for sure. Two more quick things. Crowder, I think Brady and Breeze are washed. I think the NFL has done a really good job of extending the life of quarterbacks with the way that they've protected them. But I think it's over for those two, right?
I was going to say, George, like to say it was over for Brady week one and then they go and win. Are they ever going to be NFL MVPs? No. But, George, out of what I've seen Brady do in that team, they could still win the Super Bowl with a washed Brady. So that's why I'm a little slow to say he's washed. He can't do it because they're going to go in the playoffs. Both teams, I believe, will be in the playoffs.
Okay, maybe this is the better way to describe it. They no longer are capable on a regular basis of carrying their teams to victory. It can happen once in a while during a 16-game season, but generally their teammates are going to have to carry them at this stage.
I'm with you on that. I'm right there with you. And honestly, George, it's probably why Brady left New England, because they weren't giving him any more receivers. They weren't getting him weapons. Yeah. He's like, hey, if I can't do it, let me go to a team that's going to give me other people that can do it.
Right. Now, Hawk, for you, how often have you said the name of the show that swept the Emmys? Because now you could say that word, right? I mean, that is the proper name of a show.
So we have avoided it until Gino Toretta came on yesterday and dropped Schitt's Creek about 17 times. Len is texting me every time he's saying it. And Gino's like, I know radio. I've worked in radio. I know what I can say. And we actually had little traffic or something sponsorships running from the network. I don't even know what network it's on because I've never seen the show.
Netflix, I think.
Yes, Netflix. Yesterday was the first day that we've said it. Are you saying it on your show?
We said it a lot yesterday. We even had Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, mention it because she told the story about how the cast of Schitt's Creek came to a Lakers game. They were her guests at a Lakers game before the season had stopped. So we got the owner of the Lakers to say it on live radio. Yeah, we were all laughing this is great. We can say it,
For an old radio head like me, it's just very difficult. Very difficult. I want a new name for that show. Anyway.
No, let's keep that name. I hope that show lasts for 20 years so we can just call it, we just use the name constantly and drive people like Len crazy.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. Thank you, George.
All right, I'm going to go make some homemade croquetas. I'll talk to you later.
There you go, a little taste of Hialeah. He hears some Hialeah, and we got to get a taste of Hialeah. All right, let's take a quick break. That is your 15 minutes of heat. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Talk about it.
Hawk and Crowder.
Talk about it Tuesday. You know that story we were talking about in the first segment about Deion Sanders and the staff he's putting together at Jackson State, or who was it? It was Warren. We'd someone Sapp, tweeted, Terrell, yeah, it was Owens, Warren Sapp, Terrell Owens, like they were all going to be on the coaching staff. Deion Sanders tweeted. So, here's the tweet. Joe Cook, who's a reporter there in Jackson, according to sources, Deion Sanders' coaching staff, Jason Phillips, offensive coordinator, Terrell Owens, wide receiver coach, Warren Sapp, defensive line coach, Mario Edwards, defensive back coach, Dennis Thurman, defensive coordinator, blah, blah, blah. Deion Sanders has retweeted it and wrote, "This is absolutely wrong. This is how junk gets started. Not a good way to get started with me. Wow." And then he hashtags Coach Prime, which I think is funny to hashtag your own coach thing, but whatever. I think that's funny. And then I think Gino Toretta had tweeted it and said congratulations to Warren Sapp. And then Warren Sapp, he tweeted back and said, no, this is fake news or whatever. So that's a fake story. Fake story, that dude. But what happened was that dude in Jackson tweeted it, and he's a television reporter. And then it got picked up by Brett McMurphy and Fox College Football, and it started to go viral. So it's not a true story, and everybody move on with their life. We got Canes FSU to worry about. We got Dolphins Jags to worry about. We got Heat and Celtics to worry about. We got a Marlins playoff run to worry about. I don't have to worry about Deion Sanders' coaching staff.
Jackson State.
Make anything sound insulting. We went long with Sedano there, but that was Sedano's doing, by the way. We were ready to go to break, and then all of a sudden he had a checklist of things he wanted to talk about.
He used to do
afternoon drive here, so I had to give him his defer, right? I had to defer to George there. So let's take a break. 3 o'clock hour is coming up. We have a loaded potato of a show for you today. Tuan Russell going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Mark Richt going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Talk some Hurricanes. We're going to play Cheers 2 today. And it's Talk About It Tuesday. Quick break, 3 o'clock hour next on Hockman and Crowder.
Unfortunately, this is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Zoo Miami, they welcome the birth of their newest member to the zoo family, an endangered mongoose lemur.
Lemur.
Hawk and Crowder.